Okay, well, good morning, everyone. It's good to be together again as we sing those hymns. Sometimes I can come off of a pretty disturbing time, and just the sound of singing can soften the distraction and can just seems like it brings my heart to a place of worship. So thank you for that. Okay, well, this morning, I don't want to take a lot of time. I don't exactly know how to share this message, but I trust that the Lord will convey the burden on my heart the way that He has put it there. I don't feel this morning that I have anything necessarily new or something that has never been shared. But I believe this morning that God is concerned about His people. He's concerned about their lives. And He's concerned about your outcome. And that's the basics of my message this morning. I titled it, "Do You Have Money in the Savings?" And hopefully when I get done explaining this, you'll understand the point. And I know that when I do this illustration, there's going to be holes in this little illustration as to how well they line up with my point. And if you're looking for those holes, you're going to be able to go home and say, well, that didn't quite line up. And you have that liberty because you're going to find it. But if your heart is here this morning and you want to draw closer to God and you want to hear the Word of God, you'll understand my heart. You'll understand where I'm trying to lead you. You'll understand where I'm trying to take you. And so, I don't know where everyone's at this morning. I don't know if you're here and you're bitter. I don't know if you're here and you're extremely happy. I don't know if you're here and you're sad. Maybe life's hard. Maybe you don't feel like you have any friends. Maybe you feel alone. Maybe you feel like you're trapped in sin. There's all kinds of things that can be going on today. And so what I would like for you to do is just quiet your heart before the Lord and know this. I don't know exactly every one of your hearts, so I'm not singling you out. But if for some reason you're pricked in your conscience, respond to the Lord. Respond to the Lord. This is not a message directly to you. And if you want to critique it, you will have plenty of room to do so. So, let's pray. Father in heaven, you know that I feel inadequate to just simply share these simple truths, the burden that you have put on my heart. But I do pray, Lord, that I could be real, be honest, and just share the truth of your word, Lord. Help me to hide behind the message, Lord, behind the cry from the very throne of God, Lord, for His people. Just help me to convey this message the way you had brought it to me. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so the title of the message is this. Do you have money in your savings? Now, no, I'm not going to give you a class on finances and how to save money. You only pay for those sessions. But this morning, I want to try to draw something for you to think deeply about your life. So, some time ago, early in our marriage, a lot of you know this story, Lynn and I, we struggled to come to a really good place in our marriage on how to handle finances. And I've shared that testimony. Most of you know that. I was death afraid we're going to go bankrupt. And she said, we're going to be fine. And a lot of times at the end of the month, there was nothing left. There's no money. Where's the money? It's gone. I worked all week, and it's gone. And so sometimes in my crassness, I would be hard on her, and we would go back and forth, and this lasted for years. And of course, we didn't stay in that place, but we always revisited the argument. We always came back to a place where the money's all. And it was hard. For any of you that never faced that, that's hard. When the money's all. And there's a debt. So one day, my wife said, we're going to have to make a plan. Because this can't go on. We're not going to live like this. We're not going to live like this. Week, month after month, where the money's gone. And so she said, make a plan, and we will follow it. And so anyway, this is what we did. Some of you are familiar with this. They're all spelled right because my wife spelled them. Gonna run out of room. Just enough. Now assume that my item stopped here. I have a box set here with a hole at the bottom and a pig drawn down here. Anyway, so I'm not done with that, sorry. So I use round numbers. this is none of yours, and some of the basics are some of ours, but I use round numbers. So assume that your weekly check from your employer is $1,000. It's a round number. And you go to the grocery every week. I'm going to use round numbers. And you spend $100. And you run around in your vehicle in gas, and you spend $100. Now remember, everything that I'm doing up here is a weekly scale. Even the monthly bills are broke down in weekly scale. And you go running around town and you spend $100 in gas. And you like to go out to eat once a week. But whatever everybody does, it don't matter. I'm just using numbers. And you spend $70. Try that. Oh, I missed one. And of course, we all go to church and we give 10% of our money. I'm just using numbers. And then we convert over to monthly bills. So what's left? $630. So there's $630 going into all the monthly bills. And so we have to break them down weekly because we only get paid once a week. And so assume we have a $15 phone bill. And our health care costs us about $150 a week. And electric costs us $25 a week. And our vehicle insurance costs us $20 a week. Home insurance costs us $47 a week. And everybody getting a haircut costs you $25 a week. Am I in line? Yeah, you go wash your car. Average costs you about $10 a week. Heating for your home costs you about $25 a week. And the propane is going to cost you $13 a week. Property tax costs you $123 a week. And your school costs you $60 a week. Internet is $8. Trash is $8. Charitable donation of whatever kind, $70. A miscellaneous fund, $60. Clothing and shoes is $25. Lawn care is $12. Vehicle maintenance is $30. What's the number, James? $96. Negative, actually. Let me see if I have it. I don't have a red pen. Okay, it's a negative 96. So the reality is, that's enough for that. I'm not sharing on how to fix that. But the message this morning is that I would like to draw from this picture is how well are you going to come out in the end? Because there is an end. How well are you going to come out in the end? Do you know how many good faith people get a check every week? And at the end of the week, they're out of money. More than you can imagine. Why? Why? A lot of people like to say, if only my boss would pay me more. If only the electric bill wasn't so high. If only the grocery bill wasn't so high. But it's fine. We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. Maybe someone comes along their life and says, hey, I have an idea. I have an idea. Why don't you evaluate your life? Why don't you evaluate your miscellaneous spending? Why don't you evaluate your out to eat? Why don't you evaluate everything? A lot of people don't like the pain of that. It's painful. I've experienced the pain. My wife's like, I think we should revisit this. And I'm like, okay, let we get all to the bottom, and I'm like, I seriously did that? And you just feel sick. Because most people don't know the cost of living. Most people don't know the cost of living. I would like for you to turn your Bibles to Matthew 25. We're going to read a passage of Scripture there. Most people do not know the cost of living, and they hope that somehow they'll make it. They don't know the cost of their lifestyle, and they hope that somehow we'll make it. But month and week and month and month after year and year after year, they're $96 a week in the hole, and they just hope with all hope that the tax check is going to cover them, to pick them back up, put them back on their feet, and they start all over next year without a clue to the cost of living. The detriment of this is so often people do it in their spiritual lives. They hope against hope that somehow the tax check is going to bail them out. But year after year after year, they avoid the cost of their lifestyle. They close their eyes to where they're at and where they're going. They don't want the pain and the humility to see how much they actually spend of the Holy Spirit of God on their music, on their reading. They don't want to look into the details. It's okay. The tax check will cover me. It comes in April. I'll be back up again. But there's still $96 a week in the hole. So, you're in Matthew 25. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took oil in their lamps, and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, there was a cry. There was a cry. Behold, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. The bridegroom's here. We know these verses. We've heard them our whole life. Then all the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us of your oil. Give us of your oil. Why? For their lamps had gone out. There was no more oil. The wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I don't know you. I don't know you. And of course, you've heard thousands of messages on this allegory and this parable. And it fits all those messages well. But this morning I would like to suggest that these virgins were given the Holy Spirit of God. But there was nothing left. There was nothing left. Their lamps were out. They had nothing in the savings account. It was empty. There was no money in the savings account. Despair. No. Surely there's enough to light my lamp. But they burned out the Holy Spirit. God had gifted them the Holy Spirit. I can only picture this situation. Walk with me through your life today. You have one day met the Lord, and you received the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Bible talks about an earnest of your inheritance, something that God gifts to you to guide you through life, the Holy Spirit. He doesn't have to give you that. He gives it to you. Where are you burning it out? I can picture this morning these virgins coming to the Lord later in life, being waned away. They're hanging out with their friends till wee hours in the morning, and they're still burning their oil. 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. The lamps are still on. They're burning out the Holy Spirit of God. Maybe they're up having a great time. Maybe they're listening to their music and they're on their Facebook apps and they're having just a grand time. But they haven't valued the cost of living. The cost of living. And they're out of oil. They get to the throne and it's over. They did have the Holy Spirit. But they burned it out. They lived their life without valuating the cost of living. Every night they stayed up, past bedtime, they were burning oil. They were burning oil. What are you burning oil with today? What are you burning the Spirit of God out with? The Bible says it. I don't say it. The Spirit of the Lord does not always strive with man. The Spirit of the Lord is not eternal. It does stop. He has given this to us as a treasure. That someday we won't need it. If we value this and we give Him a return and we have something to show for this Spirit of God, we won't need it when we get to glory. We're resting. It's over. But you can burn it out. The five virgins did. They stood at the door and they knocked. Let us in. But they were parting it away years before. And the Spirit of God was begging them to come back. Come. Don't go there. Don't listen to that. Don't say that. Don't do that. Come. And slowly but surely, they were burning the oil away. And one day they showed up and they had no lamps. Their lights were out and judgment was before them. And they were cast into hell for an eternity. Consider the parable of the talents. Same chapter. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto this. A master went away and he gave his servants talents. And what did they do with it? Some of them hid them in the ground. God had given them something and he wanted a return on it. Is God getting a return on the Spirit of God invested into your life? That's something we need to answer. We have to consider the cost of living. You have to consider how much it's actually costing you to read what you're reading. You have to consider how much it's actually costing you to watch what you're watching. You have to consider how much it's costing you to go where you're going. You have to consider down to the penny, how much of the Spirit of God you're wasting. Because you will show up at the throne of God like the five virgins, empty of the Spirit of God. And that's an eternal loss, my friend. That's an eternal loss. You won't convince God that you have the Spirit if you don't have it. They never got in. What did he do with the unwise servant? He said, I gave him a gift that I wanted him to use. that I wanted to see an actual fruit of his labor. I wanted to see a return on what I invested into this man. And he hit it in the ground. Well, I'm young and I'll get this. Someday I'll grow up and even for us, someday all of this I'll figure it out. We're not going to get into the nuts and bolts. We're just going to hope that somehow we get $96 more to make it. That's not a good way to look at life. The best way is to evaluate the cost of living and see if there's going to be any savings. If not, you need to reevaluate everything. Start over and invite the Holy Spirit of God into your life and cherish it and live by it, because it's going to save you. It's going to save you. The Bible says Jesus is going to judge us out of his word. The Spirit only directs us to his word. So I encourage you this morning, if you're in disobedience to God's word, you're burning oil. You're burning the Spirit of God. Don't fool yourself. You could show up empty on Judgment Day. It just depends when God calls your life. Don't take the risk. Figure up the cost of living. It's your soul. Consider the sower, parable of the sower. The one on thorny ground, the one on stony ground. We have all sat here and listened to messages after messages. And we have sat under the sound of singing and the Spirit of God moving. And what have we done? What have we done? That's a question for all of us. What have we done? You're not going to fool God and tell him that you have the Spirit and my light is on when it's off. You need oil to burn a lamp. If you ain't got a lamp lit, you don't have oil. God won't be fooled. The word fell upon stony ground, and it was washed away. Through the temptation of sin, we just walked away. We're burning oil. Then it fell on thorny ground, and it says the cares of life and the deceitfulness of riches and the pleasures of life just swept it away. One translation says they were unable to grow to maturity in Christ because it was swept away, the cost of living. They were $96 short every week. You don't have to be $96 short. All you have to do is humble yourself and look at the statement and say, honey, I don't care if the car is dirty for the rest of my life. It's over. No more. No more. I don't care if I have to eat beans. No more. I don't want to be negative $96. Consider the man that's seen a treasure in a field that it says in Matthew 13, he says he saw a treasure in a field. Is that you this morning? Do you see the treasure? And he sold everything. To do what? Buy the field. So he could have the treasure. Did you get the treasure? What are you doing with the treasure today? If you're burning the oil, evaluate the cost of living. Jesus asks a very sobering thought in Luke 18. He goes on and shares a lot about a lot in Luke 18. And he kind of sums up his thoughts and he says, will there be faith on the earth? When I come, will there be faith on the earth? Is God asking that about you today? Will Nate be faithful when I come? Will there be oil in his lamp when I come? I gave it to him. I gave him all the oil he needed. And he burned it out. He burned it out. Wee hours in the morning, he was burning oil when it should have been out. He was burning oil on his phone. Where are you burning the precious Spirit of God? Where are you burning it out? And I know that you may be sitting here this morning and think, well, this is quite a works-based message, and that's fine. That isn't the way I believe. I don't believe you can work your way to heaven. But I believe that we are called, based on multiple parables and principles in the Scripture, to take a true evaluation of our life. True evaluation of our life. If you're living life and you think that somehow I'll make up this $96 on Judgment Day and there will be a savings for me in heaven, you're fooling yourself. You're fooling yourself. God requires an evaluation of life. By the simple parable of the 10 virgins, the foolish, they had the Spirit of God. We're not necessarily telling you how to earn the Spirit of God this morning. You don't earn the Spirit of God by being a good person. You are gifted the Spirit of God when you humble your heart before Him and you allow the Spirit of God to cleanse you from your sin. Where I'm at in this message is past this step, on into your life of Christianity, where you don't care about the $96. It's ugly, it's painful, you don't like it, you wish it'd be a positive sign at the end of your evaluation, but it's not. Maybe I'll get a raise. Maybe the tax check will come sooner, and I'll be able to balance this thing out. After all, I have the Spirit of God. All the virgins went to the judgment seat with the Spirit of God. They were on their way to the judgment. They all had oil. The Bible says it. But when it was time to go in, they burned it all up. If I were you, I wouldn't play that card. That's my thought. I wouldn't play that card. Jesus said, cast them away to outer darkness. He said, I don't know these people. I don't know who they are. They say they're one of mine, but I don't know them. I don't know who they are. They say they have the Holy Spirit. They're carrying a lamp. It looks like one. There's no oil in their lamp. It's gone. They're dead. Lifeless. $96 short of eternity. Don't play that card. All you have to do is humble your life. Go through the details of your life. Figure out, where am I spending the Spirit of God? Where is the Spirit of God being spent away in my life? Quit going out to eat. Quit watching those things. Stop listening to those things. Get back on your feet. And the Spirit of God will come. The Bible says, those of you being evil, meaning those of us being earthly, men and women, we know well how to give our children food. When our child says, I'm hungry, Daddy, we evaluate the situation and generally give them food. Jesus said, don't be deceived. If you ask me for the Spirit of God, I will give it to you. You don't have to fear Him not giving you the Spirit of God. What you have to be very concerned about today is your lack of evaluating the cost of living. Your lifestyle has a cost. I don't care whether you're living a flawless life. But there's things that, in the broad picture, you look well. But when you get the credit card statement out, Starbucks is on there 33 times. You see? We don't want to see that. You see? We just want to close our eyes. Well, okay. But it's the cost of living that took the oil. It's not the electric bill. It's not your dad that told you, no, don't do that. No. You can't live without that. You need electric. It's not your grocery bill. Stop trying to fight the obvious. You need it. You need the groceries. You can't do without it. So often we attack the big and in front picture. We say, we need to cut back on the groceries. We are $96 short. We need to figure out how to turn the lights off in here. We're $96 short. I'm going to shop around for insurance. And the way we go, we are going to have to save 96 and figure out how to make some money. But what we don't realize is it's not the insurance. It's not the electric bill. It's not your groceries. It's not your school. It's not your vehicle. It's your Starbucks. Now, this is not a message to criticize your spending habits. This is a message for you to consider your spiritual life. If you're not willing to do that, you could very well likely be found with no oil in your life. Because what you're doing is you're not evaluating the cost of living. And you're going to find yourself dry, without oil, and be told these words, cast him away into outer darkness. I don't know this guy. I don't know who he is. Nothing of me is in there. I don't know him. You don't want that. Not a one of us. We want to be standing there before the throne with our lamps, oil burning, oil in the lamps, and the light is burning. And the Father of Heaven says, come in. You are a good, faithful servant. He doesn't care if you have $300 of savings, $96 of savings, 10 cents of savings. He just wants you to do well with the spirit of grace that has been invested into your life. That's it. He wants you to do well. And he promises that if you ask, I'll give it to you. I'll give it to you. He is not letting you hang in. If you want to evaluate your life and figure out where the leaks are at, he'll help you fill them and close them. He promises, come to me and I'll pour out my spirit upon you. He says, I'll be your father. You can be my child. We'll make it all the way. But I think the reality is most of us are not willing to get the statement out and say, wow, that's some rough music. Wow, that was a pretty hairy movie. Wow, I don't know why I came here. This is bad. Wow, I don't know why I told my dad that. I shouldn't have said that. Man, if I'd have just knew where I was going to end up, I'd have never did this. It's an evaluation of life. It's not hard to do. It's simple. The only thing that that hinders us from doing it is pride. Because seeing the statement with 36 transactions at Starbucks hurts awfully bad. And you don't want nobody to see it. But the only way to actually make it is get the statement out on the kitchen table. Bring in the boys. Bring in the people. Say, 36 visits at Starbucks. That's our problem. And then get on your knees and invite the precious Spirit of God to cleanse your soul. And he says in Matthew, I will give it to you. What are you missing out on? What are you missing out on? Don't be like the five foolish virgins. They burned it all the way and thought they were going to make it in on a tax check. And they went to hell for eternity. But they showed up with the Spirit of God. They walked together with those who had the Spirit of God. They even had it at one point. But they burned it away. That's your choice. If you want to burn it away, that's your choice. Whether he'll give it to you, that's his choice, because he will. consider and evaluate the cost of your life. God bless you.